Brandela.
Malka.
Arnold. Good evening.
Good evening.
We are starting with the Shulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Lech Lecha, Pasuk 372 in section 34. And I'll start with L'Hashem Yehud. L'Hashem Yehud, Kud Shabri Hu, Ishkin Tevit, Hilu Urkimu, Udhilu, Udhilu Urkimu. L'Yachda, L'Hashem, Yudhe, Bavate, V'Yehuda, Shalim, B'Shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayihino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Fenanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Fenaneihu. Amar Rabbi Abba L'Rabbi Yaakov V'dai Bishtatev Bishinta V'nitchavar Kachada Karivu V'yativu Imeya Amaru Leyam Ema Mila Defuma Deshapir Kaamart Menalach Ay Amarlon Mila Daulipna Mistias Nisavai. The translation. Rabbi Abba said to Rabbi Yaakov, we shall surely join the Shekhinah. So let us join that man and his sons. They came closer, they sat with him and said, say whatever you have to say, for you have spoken well. They asked him, from where do you know all this? And he responded, I have learned this from my grandfather. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's commentary, the pasuk is clear as written. Do you know who the man is? Why is it important that we learn that the man learned from his grandfather? Questions, comments, thoughts.
I thought it was one of the sons that was making the statement rather than the man. But I guess because I saw the word,
You thought it was what, Rabbi Abba or Rabbi Yaakov?
No. When it said in 370 that they were in a house where the person had two sons.
Right.
And so I thought possibly that it was the son saying, one of the sons saying, I learned from my grandfather.
And it very well may have been. Because he said, if it was the son, he's not saying, I learned it from my father. He's saying, I learned it from my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's the man, it still applies because he's learning from two generations past.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they were impressed with what would we call it, the invention to make a noise so that they would know when midnight came, and
right,
just to know that fact and to, you know, it's important. So. I think it's leading into something else. I mean, I haven't looked ahead, but it sounds like it's a, you know, they've arrived at this motel type and are surprised to learn of as to how he wakes up, the contraption, the invention, whatever we want to call it, to wake him up, or anybody who's there to participate in Tikkun Kazot. And so they're impressed, and so they're expecting to see the Shekhinah. Their hopes are up that this isn't just a normal overnight stay with just anyone that they've happened upon a spiritual experience.
You are absolutely correct. But it still isn't answering the questions I'm asking. Why is it important that someone learns from their grandfather? And why do they have? We have to be told that?
Well, because we have to pass it on from generation to generation.
And that is the lesson. The spiritual law is that one must teach. One must pass on what one learns to another generation, whether it's physically the same generation or it's other people, but it's important that we recognize two things. One, what is the source? And the source should normally not be your generation, because that gets into the idea that people do what they want to do, which the Torah says three times in the book of Judges, that the people did what they thought was good in their eyes. And so it's important to recognize that the source of learning is important to recognize that it's coming from earlier generations, because earlier generations are spiritually higher. Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll go on.
No, I'm okay. You can go on.
Okay. Verse 373. Wetuha Wamar Bitchilat Shate Kamaita Delelya Goldinin Diltata Mitarin Viaslin Vishatin Bialma Pagut Leilya Mamash Kuchabrihu Idar Beginta Deden Vedinin Diltata La Mishtachan. And he continued, at the first hour of the night, all the judgments down below are aroused, the judgments of Malchut, which were not sweetened by Bina, and fly around the world. Exactly at midnight, however, when the Holy One, blessed be He, enters the Garden of Eden, which is the Nukva, these judgments disappear and cease to exist. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's commentary, the pasuk is clear as written. Why would the judgments disappear? Because Hashem enters the garden. How do we understand cause and effect is a question. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I was thinking as you read that verse that I guess I did have a comment about generations, and it's the idea that we are closer, at least I find I am. It seemed like I had a better relationship with my grandchildren than I did my own children, maybe because we're so busy, you know, making a living and going to work and back and forth, and, you know, but it seems that the relationship with the grandchildren were closer. And of course now this verse is going into something a little bit different, but to me, anytime Hashem shows up, judgment is covered with mercy.
That's correct, but why?
Why? Well, to me, it's because Hashem, Elohim, you know, that he put.
I understand what you're saying.
You know.
But I'm looking for a specific answer. When Hashem shows up, what does he bring with him? What was the first thing Hashem created?
I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said?
What was the first thing Hashem created? What was created on the first day?
Heaven and earth.
No, the first day Hashem created light.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the question. Oh, my.
So what I'm saying is the reason we are taught that it's important to know Hashem went into the garden, because wherever Hashem goes is light. And light changes judgment, sweetens judgment by its mercy. That process of cause and effect has to become automatic as you read the Zohar, because otherwise you're going to find yourself reading it literally. The Zohar can be read literally, but it's a mistake. That's what the Zohar tells us. Don't just accept the words literally, look deeper into them. And in this particular case, it's saying something happens at midnight. What happens at midnight is Hashem goes into the garden. But what does that actually mean? It means the light has been turned on. The energy of Chesed is coming into the universe. And we have to recognize that change.
Well, I guess I'm too connected to having Hashem and Elohim as in unity. And so I kind of think of it as mercy.
But Hashem being connected.
It is life.
Hashem being connected to Elohim, being in unity with Elohim, is light. That's the definition of light. That's why we ask the question, where does the darkness go? When you turn on the light, where does the darkness go? It goes into the light. It doesn't disappear. But here we're saying judgments disappear and cease to exist.
No, that's not my meaning. My meaning is, to me, mercy shows up because we don't deserve anything.
Absolutely correct.
You know,
we don't deserve anything, but the effect of Hashem in our life is mercy shows up. The effect of Hashem in our life is sweetening judgments. But the Zohar is saying there's something else happening. Judgment is disappearing. Judgment is leaving. When the light comes in, the negative system cannot exist. It cannot coexist. Elohim is not the negative system. Now, we have two meanings for Elohim. We have Elohim, the attribute of Hashem. And we have the Elohim, which are the angelic rulers of each nation. But when Hashem goes into the garden, Chesed has come into the universe. Light has come into the universe. And it is sweetening the judgment. And Elohim is unified with Hashem. But what does that mean when Elohim unifies with Hashem? It means that light has been revealed. when Elohim, being the attribute of judgment, accepts Hashem as the responsible authority, rather than being in conflict with that authority, which is what the negative system does, that reveals light. There's always something being revealed in every Zohar, and it is never just the physical explanation of the words. Do judgments disappear? Do judgments cease to exist? If they cease to exist, then when the light is turned off, when Hashem leaves the garden, the judgments come back. Every night they come back. So why is the Zohar saying to us they disappear and they cease to exist when they don't? They're accepting the authority of Hashem over them. Just as every human being needs to accept the authority of Hashem over them, over ourselves. But it's very difficult for a human being to accept the authority of something else. We were created to resist the authority of being over us.
Well, there's another way to think about it, too, because when we say he enters the garden, he's been with us the whole day. I don't know how to put it into words.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying. Hashem is with who every day? All the time, every day. Do you think every human being is connected to Hashem all the time, every day? We would like to think so, but is it true? Do you have thoughts during the day that are selfish? I know I do. And I know when I have thoughts that are selfish, Hashem has left.
I don't consider him leaving. I'm sorry.
Well, let's put it that Hashem becomes concealed. Is that true or not?
I can't answer for you. I'm answering for myself.
And I appreciate that. And it's a rhetorical question to be asked as part of looking deeper into each Zohar.
I think when you finally really understand that Hashem is with you all the time, that if you sneeze, you're going to say, excuse me. If you pass gas, you're going to say, excuse me. I mean, you know,
We agree.
Oh, Hashem's even watching you when you pick your nose.
Absolutely.
Can get any lower than that.
We agree. But is he communicating with you when you pick your nose? Is he telling you stop? Or is he telling you it's okay for you to do that? Is it impolite or is it polite to pick your nose?
Well, I think you're
going to get a clinic. Is Hashem impolite, God forbid?
I just know when my daughter was so sick, when she was 7 and she had, you know, they removed 22 inches of her intestines, and we were waiting for her to be able to pass gas to know that the intestines were working. you know, and that gave me a completely different appreciation for the body.
Jim is everywhere all the time. And I agree with you. I understand what you're saying. But do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, but I think it's taking something out of context. But that's just me, so, you know.
No, I understand. That's why we have these discussions. You know, I'm glad that you disagree with it, because that's part of being a student, to question what the teacher says.
Well, I think the older you get, I think you kind of, I don't know, maybe a little bit more merciful where you wouldn't have been before. And I think you see Hashem in a different way, too. I mean, that concept just keeps changing. You know, it's like an onion that you just keep peeling those outer layers, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's my understanding of what Hashem wants from us, to constantly peel the layers of onion.
Right. Now, to me, when Hashem enters the garden, what I see is the Sephiroth moving, Hesed going into Gomorrah. And like you say, okay, if you want to call it light, you want to call it mercy, you know. And I think it's pointing out, I mean, they're trying to get across the idea of the time of the day where judgment is precedent, and when you know, the importance of this midnight hour, this period of time. And I mean, so I understand what you're trying to say. It's just that I can never let go of the fact that, and I guess I've had too many things happen physically, you know, with my children or with my husband or with myself, that to me, the presence is always there. And if I've, say, gotten angry, I don't think Hashem leaves. I think it's me that has to hurry up and do binding by striking and, you know, stop that emotion. And, you know, so.
And the truth is that Hashem never leaves. Mm-hmm. By the same token, he is no longer as revealed as he was. When you get angry, God forbid, anyone gets angry, Hashem has stopped speaking to them. But Hashem hasn't left. But from one sense, it's the same thing. If he has left, or he stopped speaking to you, in one sense, those are the same things. If you think that Hashem is with you when you get angry, you're acting improperly. You have to let go of the anger. You have to do teshuvah for the anger for Hashem to speak to you again. Now, that may be that it's on a conscious level, but it could be on an unconscious level. But if that next second Hashem is back speaking to you, and he doesn't mention the anger, why should I improve myself? We're out of time.
Okay.
So we will have a Tikkuni Zohar class at the 7 o'clock class. And
okay.
Tomorrow we have four classes, the Slichot at 7 a.m., the 11 a.m. we have the Jewish history class. At 4:30, we have the Deeper Zohar, and at 7 p.m., questions and answers. So I look forward to speaking and seeing you all tomorrow. Shalom Gadol.
Okay, Shalom Gadol. Thank you.